When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome back to Mum's the Word, the parenting podcast. I'm Georgia Jones and I'm your host for this week. Now, this week's podcast is all about mum guilt. And I've been feeling it a little bit recently because I didn't organise Cooper's birthday party with a great deal of time. And although it all went to plan and he was very happy, I did feel quite guilty that I wasn't a prepared mum. But we will touch on this in this podcast. This week's guest on Mum's the Word is Zoe Blasky. Not only is Zoe a transformational coach, host of her own podcast and speaker on modern motherhood, but she is also on a mission to share the best ideas to help modern mothers feel more resilient and less alone. Welcome to Mum's the Word, Zoe. So lovely to have you.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you.
This has been a long time coming, hasn't it? We've talked a lot
online.
Many
DMs have happened.
We've finally done it. Now, Zoe, you are a woman on a mission to kind of dispel the mum guilt myths, aren't you? I listened to your podcast this morning, actually, on the misconceptions of mum guilt, actually. And it was not only incredible and insightful, it actually made me cry. I mean, it doesn't take a great deal to make me cry. Anyone that listens to this podcast knows I tend to well up. I'm the crier. Out of the three presenters, I'm the crier. It's fine. It's good showing our emotions, right?
We can cry together.
Yeah. Now, there was a statistic on your podcast where it said that 94% of mothers experience guilt every day. Like, that completely blew me away. I couldn't quite believe that it was that high, the percentage. Why do you think it is? Why do you think we have all this pressure on ourselves and experience all this guilt?
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? And I mean, I think it's even got its own word. Mm-hmm. It's not just guilt. You have to put mum in front of it, which I always put in air quotes because I'm like, let's unpack that idea a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so prevalent. And most mums that you speak to will say, yeah, I felt guilty about something today, big or small. You know, I remember when I first became a mum, I felt guilty about everything before I learned what I know now. And I think actually, you know, and you would have heard this in the episode that you listened to on my podcast, Motherkind, about guilt. We call a lot of things guilt that actually aren't guilt. It's almost like, I wonder if you relate to this, I think the emotional experience of motherhood is so complex, isn't it? Like the emotions that we feel like day in, day out, we haven't always had the language for that.
No.
And I think that's because traditionally the mother's experience has been not ignored, but definitely not, you know, focused on. It's all been about the baby and the feeding and the toddler and the schooling and the exams, not about how is the mum. And so I think we just actually haven't had the words to put to the feelings.
Absolutely.
And I got this idea from coaching like thousands of mums on this, and they would say, I feel so guilty about this. And I'd think, oh, well, that's not really guilt that you're describing. That's something else.
Mm.
So I started to really unpack it, because guilt, actually, productive guilt, is kind of a good emotion.
Yeah.
We don't want to have no guilt. It's actually only psychopaths
when you
that don't have any guilt.
Literally, right. So that was honestly like a massive light bulb moment for me when you said that on your pod. When you said it's only psychopaths that don't feel guilt, I was like, oh my gosh,
What a good point.
Right.
Because I was like, well, that makes me feel great about having guilt. That actually makes me feel really good for being guilty.
Exactly.
Because it means I'm sane.
Exactly. This is why the sort of narrative around, you know, let's get rid of mum guilt. I'm like, that's just not the thing. Like, guilt is actually, you know, can be a really powerful and positive emotion. Like, all our emotions developed for a reason. Mm-hmm. Guilt developed so that when we were back in tribes, you know, in cave people times, if we did something that could harm the group, we would feel guilty and it would make us say sorry or change our behaviour or make amends. So it's a really good, it's good. It helps us stay connected. It helps us stay true to our values. Like, guilt is when, true guilt, I call it, is when we've done something that goes outside of who we are.
Yeah.
So, like, today I've completely forgotten I'd made a promise to my youngest.
Oh, God, it's awful, isn't it?
What the hell? Why do they remember?
What? They don't remember what they even ate at school that day, yet they remember something you said to them a week ago.
This is it.
That was going to happen next week at approximately, like, 5:30 p.m.
Exactly.
And they can't even tell time.
So she was like, I was like, remember mummy's going to London today? And these little eyes looked up. She's like, but you promised we could go for baby chino.
Oh,
and I was like,
oh, God, it hurt. It actually hurts,
and
doesn't
I was
it,
like,
physically?
Do you know what? It's good that I feel a bit of guilt there. Like, I'd forgotten that promise. One of my values, like, one of the standards that I hold myself to is, like, I like being true to my word. Like, I like doing what I say I'm going to do. So, okay, yeah, I feel a bit of guilt. That's all right.
Yeah.
So I said to her, oh, I feel really guilty about that, Rose. Yeah, I've forgotten. We'll do it tomorrow morning. I'll make sure that happens tomorrow morning.
I think that's so good. Important.
Yeah.
I think that is, like, one big thing that I learned was actually admitting you're wrong to your child and teaching them that, okay, mummy's done wrong here. I forgot, but I'm apologising, first of all, and we're going to make it right. Mummy's going to make it right because that was wrong on my part. Do you know the worst thing I ever did? And honestly, it still haunts me to this day, is I forgot that Cooper, my little boy, had a poetry recital at school. And the only reason I found out was because another mum messaged me and said, oh, you were missed at the poetry recital today. Where were you? And I was like, sorry, what poetry recital? And honestly, my heart, the thought of Cooper walking out into the assembly hall and not seeing me or Danny there and not understanding why we weren't there, I was like, this is horrible. It's a horrible feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, and by the way, we've all been there. We've all done that. I don't think there is a mum listening to this who hasn't forgotten one of those things. Like, 100%. I had it the other day. You're going to the sports match because we're at the stage where you have to go and watch all these matches. And I was like, I didn't even know about it. But, you know, those things happen. And I think when we expect ourselves not to drop any balls and be perfect, it kind of serves no one. It definitely doesn't serve us because we feel more guilt. And it doesn't serve our kids, actually. It's really powerful to teach them. Like, parents are imperfect.
Yeah.
The world is imperfect. And this is how we handle that emotionally. And this is how we handle that in our actions. Mm. We might make up for that. We might validate his feelings about that. How did it feel, like, walking out? And it's hard to do that because you're like, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, don't tell me you cried.
Yeah, exactly. But actually validating that experience is really powerful for them.
I was so apologetic. I think it's really interesting when you said about, like, that we're not perfect as parents. No parent is perfect. That was something when I first had Cooper that I really struggled with because I like everything to be perfect. I like everything done a certain way. We've looked into it in therapy. Probably got mild OCD, but that's a whole nother podcast. But yeah, I'm really, really particular about things. So when I had a little tiny baby that just threw, it was like a bomb had gone off in the house, and it was just my perfect little world had been completely changed. And it was impossible for things to be perfect because it was changing constantly. I really, really struggled with that mentally, trying to just adapt to it all. And I felt guilty for that. You know, you have your life a certain way. Not only did I feel guilty that I still wanted it to be perfect and it wasn't, I felt guilty that I was struggling with that, that I was struggling in my own head and didn't understand it. And then you think, God, is everybody going to think that I've let things go wrong because things aren't how Georgia normally has them? You know, house isn't tidy and spotless like it normally is. Everything does not have its place anymore. And there's all these pressures that you just pile upon yourselves. And then it all gets a bit much eventually.
Well, that's the right word, isn't it? Pressure. Because that's sort of what we were talking about that good guilt. You know, when you do something wrong, you make it. I reckon, having studied this for way too many hours at this point, is that's probably about 20% of what we actually call guilt. Like, what you were talking about there is not guilt, because you haven't done anything wrong. Remember, like, guilt is when we've done something wrong and we make amends and we move on.
Mm.
What you were talking about there was kind of other things. Remember I was saying, like, the complex emotions of motherhood. It sounds like there's a mix of you setting yourself way too high standards.
Yeah, 100%.
And then when we fall short of those, we feel guilty. But that's not guilt. That's the problem, is the standard, not the emotional reaction to the standard.
Yeah.
You see? So it's like, how do we get to think, what is important for me right now, given my resources, mentally, emotionally, physically, financially? Like, what is important for me? And then when we do that, like when I've done that and when people that I've helped have done that, it just completely changes your experience, because you're like, okay, I'm not measuring myself against having a tidy house. If it's clean and sanitary, that's good enough this week or next week or whenever it is. And then also I just heard that word pressure. And I think we put ourselves under so much pressure. Mm. And, you know, partly that comes from society and social media and the world that we live in. But if we can take back control where we can, like, we can take the pressure off ourselves. We're the ones putting it on ourselves. So we can take it off,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll feel less guilt. And perfectionism is just a massive one. I mean, you are not alone. Yeah. I know you know that, but you are not alone. And perfectionism is a, you know, it's almost a coping behavior that we develop to feel good enough.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
People think perfectionism is about being perfect or trying to be perfect. It's not at all. Perfectionism is that somewhere in us, we don't feel good enough. So we try to compensate for that by making things orderly, in control, and then we feel in control. And like you said, like, you throw a toddler or a baby or a teen into that and it just doesn't work. We have to find other ways to feel good about ourselves and validate ourselves in all the chaos. Otherwise, it doesn't work.
Someone told me that it's quite childlike, the perfectionist side of things is quite like a childlike thing, that if this is like this, then everything's going to be wonderful. Yeah. If I have things a certain way, it's all going to be lovely and happy. And it's not the case. Like, that's not how life works. Yeah. And I think sometimes you have to, like you said, like, you've got to remind yourself, like, the pressure. We all feel it, but there's ways of dealing with it and there's ways of taking that load off. I actually put a little thing out on Instagram just saying, did anybody want to ask you anything?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, honestly, the majority of the questions were the same, and it was, why isn't there dad guilt? Why isn't there, quotation marks, dad guilt? Because I never hear, ever, really, of any dads saying, oh, I've got awful dad guilt today. And I don't know whether they either don't speak about it and do feel guilt, or just don't have that ingrained in them like we do. What do you think?
I think it's both. There is dad guilt for sure. I think dad's experience, you know, we were talking about that productive and unproductive guilt. The dads that I've spoken to and the people that I've spoken to on the podcast, I experienced that more in the productive way. It's like, actually, I feel really guilty that I promised I'd be at that football match and I wasn't. Okay, well, that's productive guilt. Like, you've gone outside something that you promised, or a standard that you'd set for yourself. I think they experience it less in the what I call unproductive guilt. So feeling guilty about things that we can't do anything about, or putting ourselves under too high standards. And then you use that word ingrained, and I think absolutely, like, we subconsciously, our brains are like sponges, particularly when we're young. So we absorb, you know, how our mothers were, what mothering was like when we were little. You know, we've got more working mothers than ever before now. That wasn't the case when even you and I were little.
Yeah.
So we've absorbed all these expectations of what we should be. I call it the should scam, because it is a scam.
Yeah.
It's like, why should I be organized? Why should I cook, you know, a fresh cooked meal every single day?
Yeah.
Why should I be ever present? Why shouldn't I work? You know, so many people have these ideas of what this kind of Mary Poppins perfect fantasy mother looks like. And I think one of the most powerful things to do is like unpack that for ourselves. And I think that that's the baggage that fathers just typically don't bring into parenting.
Yeah, because I suppose they're going the opposite way a little bit, in that we've seen like our mums and then their mums all been kind of like these perfect housewives. And it's kind of changing now. I think our generation is the generation where there's been a shift.
Yeah.
And I think hopefully for our children, it'll be an even bigger shift now, in that we are quite equal as men and women, or it's going that way. Whereas when we were younger, my mum, and I love my mum and dad to bits, they're still together, like lovely married couple, but mum was the stay-at-home wife, and dad was the man that went out and worked, and he would be home every night at 5:30, and the dinner would be on the table and the house would be clean. And if it wasn't, you know, there'd be trouble. Why? Not obviously with my mum, but like mum would be like, make sure the house is clean because we don't want your dad to come home to a dirty house. And so we'd always make sure the house was lovely and clean. And that has been ingrained in me.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
I still, to this day, if I am at home and Danny is out, even though he's not asked me to clean the house, I will make sure that house is tidy for him getting home. I mean, I like a clean house, so it's partly for me as well. But I think it's just ingrained in me to be
right.
that way.
Yeah.
But there was a huge struggle for me after having Cooper, because all I'd seen was women having babies and that was it. And then they wouldn't work, or they weren't desperate to get back to work. I was desperate to start working again.
Same.
I was desperate. Were you?
Yeah.
I was desperate to be independent again and do my own thing and have kind of like that bit of my life that was just separate to doing to anything that was like keeping the house or looking after my child or cooking or cleaning, anything like that. And that is where there was this huge pressure, guilt on me, that I thought, am I the only person that would rather work than, you know, I want Cooper to be looked after so I can work. I don't want to be the one at home all the time just looking after Cooper. And I was like, does that make me a terrible mother for feeling that way?
No. I mean, that's the perfect example of standards that we've absorbed that aren't our own. Mm. Like, that's not your original idea, is it? To feel that bad about wanting to be yourself.
Yeah.
And I think this is one of the huge things that happens when we become mothers. Like, before motherhood, I think often we are, you know, living in line with our values, we're doing things we love, we know who we are. And then suddenly motherhood is like, I think of it like a jigsaw puzzle. It kind of throws all the pieces up in the air and you're like, you have no picture to put it back together again.
Mm.
So we borrow like another jigsaw box. And we're like, okay, well, the picture I need to follow is this mum who's devoted, who enjoys every minute, that horrific phrase, who, you know, never feels frustrated or ambivalent about motherhood, who never has an intrusive thought or thinks, have I made a mistake? All of which is completely normal. Mm. It's just that it hasn't been spoken about. So what we really have to do is grab our own picture. Okay, I'm going to be the sort of mum, I'm always going to work because that's who I am.
Yeah.
And actually, parenting isn't about, you know, the tips and the scripts. And it's about modelling who you are in the world.
Yeah.
And using that as an inspiration for your children. Like, that's all we can do. And I think when we try and not do that and become a mum, like, what does a mum look like, dress like, speak like? That's when we can get really lost.
Yeah.
So I think it's so important. I'm the same. I've worked since I was 14. Like, there was no way that I was going to stop working. It's a huge part of my identity.
Yeah.
I'm incredibly proud that I've, you know, worked. I did have a little bit of time off with my first, but I was always called squirreling on the laptop. It's just who I am. And I can see those qualities in my girls. Mm. And I love it.
Hi all, it's TV's Gail Porter here. I am so excited to tell you that I am joining the Paranormal Activity family and will be hosting a number of live podcast recordings across the UK. The first is on the 6th of March at London's haunted Richmond Theatre. Expect terrifying tales, audience interaction, and hopefully a spirit or two. I can't wait for you to join me and to hear your own paranormal experiences. You can find tickets at www.paranormalpod.co.uk.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to PrettyLitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
No parent is the same. No mother is the same. And it's very difficult not to compare yourself. You know, when you see mums online going, you only have this time once.
Oh, what's the worst? Oh, the 18 honestly, summers.
Oh, somebody I know did it the other day. And honestly, I felt really, really shit about myself after I watched it because I was like, Oh no. And she was like, you know, you never get this time back with your children. So I don't think you should work. You shouldn't spend all the time with your child. I was like, no, because if I didn't work, if I didn't do that bit for me, I wouldn't be the mum that I am. I would be a lot less of a mum, I think.
I really struggle with those because I think for many people it's not a choice.
Exactly, and I said that as well.
It's a huge privilege to be able to choose, like, do I want to work, how many days do I want to work. That is a privilege not afforded to many. So I also think that there is a huge difference between being present with your children and being with them. So when I was for about 9 months full-time mum, I wasn't earning any income. I was just doing unpaid, you know, mum work in the home. I think I was less present than I am now, as in that full, like, completely connected with them, playing. My phone is nowhere near. My head might be buzzing, but I'm sort of managing that so that I'm just really, really present with them. I do that more now.
Because you're having your time as you, as somebody that's working and out and about and doing your thing. So then when you are home with your child, I'm exactly the same. You're focused on them.
Yeah.
Because you've got what you need out of the day.
Exactly.
And then you can focus on your child. Completely in agreement.
Yeah, exactly.
Another thing that I heard you say when you were speaking in your podcast was the quickest way not to feel shame is sharing.
Yes.
And that really, really resonated with me because I'm an open book and I share. It's probably a good podcast for me to host. Exactly, yeah. I love to share because not only does it make me feel just a bit lighter when I do share, I also feel like if I'm sharing this with another mum, hopefully if they're feeling that way and they're not confident enough to say they're feeling that way, then it might make them feel a little bit better. I struggle quite a bit with people when they're closed because I want to hear things from people. I never forget, I remember I was talking to a woman and she's actually an influencer that shares a lot online. And I was chatting to her just about, like, how I was feeling, like, you know, I was struggling and just as I would with anyone, nothing that I wouldn't tell anyone. And she said to me, she went, I think you share too much. I think you need to be careful about how much you're sharing. And I was just like, what? And I remember when she said it to me, I was like, I really don't agree, like, and I'm going to carry on sharing because it really shocked me that she kind of felt that way, that I was oversharing. And it did knock my confidence a little bit with, like, being honest about things because I was like, God, am I like overbearing? Do people not want to hear these things? Are they like, is it too much? But I was like, I sat and had a word with myself and I was like, no, because I would want to hear these things. Like, especially as a first time mum. Like, you know, if somebody had sat down to me and said, you might not feel the love straight away, or you might find this really hard and not enjoyable at all, or you might want to go back to work when everybody else is happy in the park with their children, I would have, oh my God, benefited from that so much. So yeah, I always feel like sharing is caring, isn't it?
yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a skill as well. Like, I would make up with that other mum. Often we try and shut someone down because it's uncomfortable for us. So I would make up that maybe she's had some experiences where she's been vulnerable and been shamed for that. And in a way, there was some protection coming in for you. That's what I would make up about that dynamic.
Mm.
But we do have to be careful who we share with, particularly in motherhood, because like you experienced, judgment is so high.
Yeah.
And I think we have to be mindful of that. Like, if we're going to say what's on our insides, what's on our hearts, and say it out, like, that's really vulnerable. And it's an incredible privilege for someone to hear it. That's what I always think. When someone's honest with me, I think, wow, like, what a privilege. Like, they must think that I'm safe enough to hear these vulnerabilities. Like, yeah, that's incredible.
Mm.
I think because we tend to, you know, as a society, we're not amazing at hearing people's vulnerabilities. We tend to want to fix or give advice. I bet you've had this a lot where you share something and someone goes, have you tried?
Yeah.
You should. Yeah. I did. It's really hard, actually, to just go, wow, that sounds really hard.
Mm.
Like, I trust you're going to figure out your own way through this. Would you like some advice?
Yeah.
You know, asking the question.
Would you like me to help you?
Yeah. Or do you want some advice, or are you just sharing to get it off your chest?
You do have to find your people, I think.
Absolutely.
In terms of sharing, because I've definitely noticed it along the way. There's people that I share probably even more with, because I know I'm going to get back from them what I need, which is kind of reassurance, a cuddle, them saying to me how they feel as well, them sharing with me. Because I always find, like, when you share, it's very difficult when the other person doesn't share anything back, even though you're like, I definitely know this happened to you. Why aren't you telling me your experience?
Yeah.
Because I really kind of said mine so that you would tell me something back to help me. And then you're like, oh, I didn't get from that what I wanted.
It's the nicest feeling, isn't it? I think the worst feeling in the world in motherhood is it just me, or there's something wrong with me? And I think that's the privilege of doing what you and I do, right, with podcast hosting, is that you just, any thought, feeling, experience I have now, I know it's not just me.
Yeah.
And that is just such a gift. It's like, there's nothing wrong with me. This is a normal experience of, you know, with motherhood, because I spoke to that person who'd been through it, or someone else who shared that with me. So that's why I say shame really does reduce when you share it, because it's when we keep things to ourselves and we think, oh my God, I can't tell anyone about that.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so horrible. Funny, because the amount of things that I'm like, God, that's so bad. Like when you were saying about intrusive thoughts.
Yes.
It is unbelievable how many people have them. Like, you know, I'll just be sat there one day and I'll think, oh my God, imagine if Cooper ran into the road and got hit by a car. Oh my God, I need to hold him at all times. And I'm like, what? Why did I just put myself through that absolute trauma?
I did an amazing episode on this. Intrusive thoughts is actually pretty much universal. Like 99% of mums actually experience them. It's
really?
Just that, it's just that we don't tend to talk about them. Often because they're violent. Often because they're scary. Often because we think if we talk about them, does that make them more powerful? The opposite's true, by the way. If we say it out loud, then it's real. Like, I definitely had that thought.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people get afraid that if they say it, you know, a social service is going to swoop in and take their child away. You know?
Or are your friends going to think you're a bit of a nutter? Because you've said, like, we've got a load of glass in our house. Glass, as in glass windows, not just like random bits of glass around our house.
Shards of glass in our house.
And I always think to myself, God, what if Cooper didn't know one of those doors was closed and he ran into it and it smashed on him?
Like, do you get visual with it?
What if it chopped his leg off?
Yeah.
Oh, so, oh, completely worse.
Completely normal.
And when you, and I'm saying these out loud now to all you people listening, so you probably don't feel quite as bad. See, this is me sharing. But I do have those thoughts. So how do you, like, do we deal with them? Do we just accept them?
I had these, right? And I had no idea. I didn't tell anyone because I was like, I'm really worried about myself, yeah, basically.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it can be some of, you know, it can be something if they're very, very frequent and they feel completely unmanageable. Mm. Definitely go and speak to your GP. But I recorded an incredible episode of my podcast with a woman called Dr. Caroline Boyd, who's sort of a specialist. She wrote her PhD paper on intrusive thoughts in motherhood.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I was like, gosh, you need to come and tell us what. Yeah, exactly. So yeah. I would really encourage everyone to go and listen to that, because yeah, it completely changed so many people's experience of them. You know, really, you can't stop them coming. What happens is when we become mothers, or when we're, it's often when we're alone with our children that they start. That was my experience. It was when I suddenly found myself alone with a baby that they really ramped up. It's our brain rewiring for the additional responsibility of, you know, caring for children or you know, multiple children, whatever your setup is. That responsibility can make our brain start to almost go a bit haywire and think about everything that could go wrong. She explains it far more eloquent than me. The skill is to notice the thought, but try and let it pass by, which is really hard. Yeah. Just label it. This is an intrusive thought. It's okay. I'm safe. My child is safe. This is just my brain trying to protect me, trying to protect us. And try and let it pass by.
Is that what it is then? Your brain just trying to kind of like protect yourself?
Yeah.
Of course, this could happen.
Yeah.
Be prepared.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really
often
interesting.
First-time mums will get them more acutely than second-time mums, which I experienced. Like with my first, it was really bad. My second, I barely got them.
Yeah.
Because I think I'd adjusted to...
Your brain had adjusted.
My brain had got used to the massive responsibility.
You knew what was happening second time round.
Exactly. Really, really common. But I would really encourage everyone to go and listen to the episode on Motherkind with Dr. Caroline Boyd.
I think I'm going to do it on my journey home. Yeah. That's what I'm going to do. We're nearly at the end. I mean, we could have chatted for hours, I think. But just briefly, because I don't think we fully touched on the, was there four things that kind of go along with mum guilt?
Yes.
So what are they?
Yes.
Just a
let
brief.
Let me just tell everyone my model, just so that they've got it in their pockets.
That's what I want.
So I call it the 80-20 guilt model. 20% of the guilt that you're feeling is that productive guilt, that good guilt, that guilt that actually, oh, I messed up, I'm going to do something different. 80% is not guilt at all. We've just mislabeled it. And through all this research and speaking and coaching and interviewing that I've done, I've boiled it down to five things that I think it is. Yeah, and I'll just quickly resume. The first one is tension. So often we'll experience tension because we can't be in two places at once. Mm. So right now I'm experiencing a bit of tension, like my little one's at nursery and I'm here. That's a choice that I've had to make.
Yeah.
And whenever we make a choice, like in a restaurant, you know, whenever we ordered that dish and we didn't get that dish, it's like, oh, you know,
food envy.
Damn it. So whenever we make a choice, and we make endless choices in motherhood, you know, endless, all day, every
constant
day.
Yeah.
There's just tension there. And what I really found working with clients and in my own life, the moment I accepted that, okay, I just feel some tension because I can't be in two places at once, because I have to make a decision about which school, and I want both, or I don't want either. I just have to make a choice. There's tension. If we think about it outside our lives in motherhood, there's tension in every choice.
There is.
Right?
We just don't put as much pressure on ourselves.
Just don't put as much pressure on it.
Yeah.
Exactly. So when we take the pressure off it and accept it, you know, when you pull a rope and there's loads of tension, it's like drop the rope.
Yeah. Just go,
so that's the first one. That is a lot of it.
Right.
Is tension.
Yeah.
The second one is inner critic. So a lot of what we call guilt actually isn't guilt because we haven't done anything wrong. Remember, guilt is when you've done something wrong that you want to change.
Yeah.
It's often just your inner critic. And something fascinating is that the more that we care about something, the louder that critical voice will become. And we know this from like work projects, right? When something's really important, you're like, oh, I'm going to mess it up. I'm going to do it wrong.
Absolutely.
It's the same. And like most of us don't care about anything more than our children. And so that critic can get really loud.
Yes.
And I'm completely obsessed about helping mums change that critic. We'll do a follow-up episode on
that. Yeah, no, we need to.
Yeah,
My critic is very critical.
And there's lots you can do about that. So, but that is often what we call guilt. We'll say I'm feeling guilty, but we're not actually guilty.
Yeah.
It's that our inner critic is really,
I think that's probably
up.
A really big percentage for me, actually.
Yeah, exactly. And the next one is the one that you and I were referring at the start, which is around standards.
Yes.
So often we say, I'm feeling so guilty that ... But actually, it's not guilt. You haven't done anything wrong by getting something out of the freezer or serving fish fingers. What you're doing is measuring yourself against someone else's standard, right? That we've absorbed often from like TV shows, like Neighbours when we were growing up, or, you know, what our mums did, or we just absorbed these standards and then we're measuring ourselves against them. And it's such a simple fix that, because the moment you become aware of it, you're like, oh my God, I'm doing that thing. I'm measuring myself against this Pollyanna perfect mum that does not exist.
And
they don't exist.
You'd be surprised how many mums claim that they're cooking all these fabulous, healthy, home-cooked meals. They're not.
No.
They're putting fish fingers in like the rest of us.
And even if they are, then that's their standard.
Yeah.
And they'll be having lower standards in other areas.
Exactly.
That you and I might have a higher standard in.
Their house might be filthy.
Exactly. They might not have washed their hair for a year. So that's all good. Because they're stood there at the stove.
Yeah, exactly. Different standards for everybody, and that's
it.
Fine.
And I think I love this idea of define your own job description.
Yes.
Like, what is important to you? And each and every one of us would have a different list of what was important to us in motherhood.
Well, that's it. We're not all good at everything.
You and I would be different. Yeah. The things that we focus on, worry about, want to get right, our list would be different. So measure yourself against the things you actually care about.
That's so
true. And then give yourself some grace for the things that aren't important to you.
Yeah, because I suppose we're all good at different aspects.
Exactly.
And the same goes for parenthood.
Exactly.
We're all good at different things.
Exactly. Like, I'm amazing at role play and playing with the kids. I love it. This embarrassing like Amdram character comes out and I'm into it.
Got you.
And I've got friends who are like, oh my God, I feel so bad, I can't play. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm completely disorganized with all the school and nursery stuff.
Yeah.
And you nail that every single time.
Exactly.
The skill is like, let go of what you're not focused on or isn't important to you and just embrace what you're good at and know that, you know, that's what's important to your children, to see someone who's like celebrating who they are.
Yeah.
Not constantly beating themselves up
exactly.
of who they're not.
It is so true, because that your child remembers you for being that kind of mum. So
exactly.
Like, I remember my mum. My mum's an amazing cook and the most cuddliest woman you could ever meet. And that is my memory of, she's still alive. That's my current memory of mum, is that's the type of person she is. It's actually all my friend's memory, because she's like the epitome of word mummy.
Yeah.
I don't remember whether she was good at role play. I don't remember whether the house was clean.
Exactly.
I don't remember any of those things. I just remember the things that give me that gorgeous, like, warm love feeling.
Well, it's that really famous quote, isn't it? Is that what children remember is how it feels.
Yeah.
Like, if I look, I do this incredible coaching exercise where I get people to look back at their own childhoods and think about their children looking back on their childhood now as we're living it.
Yeah.
You don't remember the details. You remember how it felt.
Yes.
And that's what I think about all the time. Like, I know my children feel loved. I know they can see me living a life that I love. They can see I'm happy.
Yeah.
Like, and that is the feeling of our home.
Yeah.
Not about the fact that, you know, we had fish fingers for 7 times that week. It's all good. It doesn't matter to me. Someone else might, it might matter.
Yeah.
But when we define those standards, like, that is where freedom is. And then the next one is, just so that we get through them, I'm like, stay focused. The next one is, I call it permeating. And this is where, when we take on someone else's feelings and call it our guilt. For example, we might want to go out to a yoga class or something, and the children might be crying about it, and your partner, if you have one, might be like, oh really, do you have to go? Those are their feelings.
Yeah, that's
such
a good point.
We don't need to take those on and feel guilty about it, because it's like, well, hang on, let's think about it. It's in line with my values and my standards for myself to do something for myself, because I know I'm going to feel better. I want to be energized when I come back in. So it's almost imagining like a glass wall between their feelings and our feelings and not taking them on as
that's
our own.
That's a really good thing, because I definitely do that. Like, say if me and Danny like have a diary clash and I'm like, well, look, mine's work. Yours is, you know, I don't know, you're going to play golf.
Yeah.
So really mine takes precedent over yours. And then I feel terrible because I've stopped him doing something he wants to do.
Yeah.
So yeah, I completely get that. But you shouldn't tear that on. If they want to sulk, let them sulk.
That's his
feeling.
I'm
doing my thing.
I, sometimes I visualize literally like giving it back.
Yeah.
Like, actually, this isn't mine.
Yeah.
I don't feel guilty about this.
Yeah.
You feel not. I'm going to give that feeling back to you. And Dr. Becky, who, she runs something called Good Inside, and she came on the podcast and she said this thing that just blew my mind. And she said, you know, Zoe, your ability to get your needs met in motherhood depends on your tolerance for others' disappointment. And I was like, that is so true.
That is a great...
We just have to tolerate other people maybe being a bit disappointed.
Yeah.
Including our kids.
And the thing
is... And our partner and our friends and our family. Like, actually, no, I'm going to do this thing. Or I'm not going
to
do this thing.
Yeah, but it's ingrained in us to not want to disappoint anyone, isn't it?
Exactly. And that's where we really trip up. And we call it guilt.
Yeah.
It's not guilt. That's our people pleasing. That's not guilt.
Zoe, I mean, this has been an incredible chat. I love doing this job because it's basically like I get to like have therapy every single session. But thank you for coming on.
No,
that was
welcome.
So insightful and incredible. And I think we do need to do a follow-up because I think there's so much more to talk about.
There's just so much, isn't there? Because it's so complex,
it is.
Motherhood and everything that we bring to it and
it
our
is.
Experiences of it.
And our little full brains, they are complex, aren't they? But thank you. It's been absolutely lovely having you on.
Oh, no, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Mum's the Word, the parenting podcast. Make sure to hit the subscribe or follow button so you never miss an episode. We'll be back with another episode, same time, same place, next week.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.